Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Everybody, welcome to Let's Get Healthy. We're all works in progress. I am your host, Marlo Etienne. This is a very wet and cloudy Friday here in the Atlanta metro area. We appreciate the rain. Certainly we do, but we love the sun on this show for all of its healing power. Tonight we have an excellent show with three very powerful women who are doing amazing work within the local and international community. As you know, this show this evening is about breast cancer awareness with two very powerful survivors who are thriving in life. And also, we have a show discussing wound wellness. Our guests are Dr. Ashe Faiza. She's a master herbalist. We are also talking with Mary Peaks, who is a breast cancer survivor and has her own nonprofit organization, Bosom Buddy. And we are talking with Nia Brown Matthews, a two-time breast cancer survivor, author, entrepreneur, and speaker. Definitely like to welcome these ladies to the show. As you know, this show offers information about various complementary therapeutic methods that can help you integrate and restore your health. We like to offer information to the listening audience that's going to help them along on their journey towards being healthy, wealthy, and well. The housekeeping rules is to mute your line when you do not have a question or a comment. The dial-in number is 773-897-6115, and press 1 to speak with me and our guest. Please email us at healthyprogress1@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or suggestions. And you may also go to our website at 101oasisradio.com. September is Cancer Awareness Month. According to the National Cancer Society, nationally, we're looking at these following cancers for heightened awareness: childhood cancer, gynecologic cancer, leukemia and lymphoma, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, thyroid cancer. There is a campaign to take a loved one to the doctor. That's the last week of September, so that's next week. So please take your loved one to the doctor to get their annual checkup to make sure that all is well, whether you see a mainstream doctor or a naturopathic doctor, whomever your doctor is, whatever service you use. Please be mindful to offer your compassion to a loved one, to take them to the doctor. Now, locally in Georgia, at the Georgia World Congress Center, there's a Women's Health and Fitness Expo. You can go to, let's see, what website I have for this. Go to AtlantaEvents.com. They're offering a Women's Health and Fitness Expo featuring fitness classes, top celebrity fitness experts, health screenings, nutrition, workshops, fashion and beauty, and vendors. And they're also offering health and wellness, fashion beauty vendors and health and wellness vendors. Now, I made the mistake of not including the web information here. I'm looking for the time. It's 10 to 6 p.m., but if you go to Atlanta Events, this event will show up. Actually, I found it here in my notes. It's at lifebalanceconference.com. That's the website. So if you want to check out http://lifebalanceconference.com. You can get that information to find out more about that event. September is also the National Preparedness Month. The theme is Don't Wait, Communicate. Make your emergency plan today. You can go to www.readygov. I'm a little tongue-tied this evening. It's amazing. Been talking all day, so please bear with me while I get my verbs and my nouns together. There has been a weekly focus for the week of September 1st to the 5th. It was the focus of, was on flooding. The second week was from the 6th to the 12th was wildfires. The third week from the 13th to the 19th is hurricanes. And the fourth week was from the 20th to the 26th, which is this week, related to power outages. And next week, from the 27th to the 30th, which leads up to National Prepare-a-thon Day, which is September 30th. So, if you want to get more information about that, go to www.ready.gov. Now, I would like to, as I usually do, is read the bios of our guests and then get into our discussion. Because Dr. Ashe is pressed for time, we're going to talk with her about womb wellness first. So she's doing miraculous work. Thousands of women have had their wombs healed because of her dynamic work using her detox tonic and some other herbal formulas that she has put together to help women achieve homeostasis within their bodies. So I would like to start with reading Mary Peake's bio, then I will go on to reading Miss Brown Matthews' bio, and then I'll read Dr. Ashe's bio. Now, Mary Peake, 18 years ago, April of 1997, while doing a self-breast exam, Mary found a lump on her left breast late one Friday night. That lump turned out to be breast cancer. In 1998, Mary started My Seed of Faith Ministry, distributing these tiny seeds across the United States in the Caribbean. In 1999, the first breast cancer walk was organized at Morehouse College by three women who were diagnosed with breast cancer around the same time. Mary is very active, spreading the word about breast cancer at local churches, Relay for Life events, and the American Cancer Society kickoff breakfasts. In 2007, Mary helped to create a successful cancer program at her church. Once a month, Mary facilitates a Bosom Buddy breast cancer support group meeting at Southern Regional Hospital in Jonesboro, Georgia. In 2014, Bosom Buddy formed a successful partnership with the Pink Frog Foundation Incorporated. Every year, the two organizations bring awareness to the Morehouse campus with a luncheon, concert, and the breast cancer walk. To date, Morehouse College has contributed over $200,000 to the American Cancer Society and the Pink Frog Foundation Incorporated. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, that's an excellent background that you have. We'll talk a little bit more about what you're doing with your organization at Morehouse and with the Pink Frog Foundation as well as the American Cancer Society. Now for Ms. Nia Brown Matthews' background. Ms. Brown Matthews is a two-time breast cancer survivor. Nia hosts a huge breast cancer fundraiser each year to pamper women who suffer from cancer with makeovers to give them self-esteem. She is an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. Nia's empowering new book, The Boss in You, aims to educate young girls and women on how to overcome life obstacles and challenges they encounter in order to become successful in their careers, relationships, and or personal lives. Nia was moved to write the book after channel surfing with her teen daughter and noticed all the negative images of black women promoted on ratchet reality TV shows. She is a sought-after speaker who talks about being a successful entrepreneur, overcoming cancer twice, and being the mother of a teen daughter who was bullied because of her medical condition of pituitary dwarfism. She's married to retired NFL wide receiver Super Bowl champion Eric Matthews, who's a Super Bowl champion with the Packers. And they are very active in the Atlanta community. The Boss in You is sold nationwide at Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and on Ms. Matthews' website, www.niabrownmatthews.com. Now, recently, Nia has been featured in several national media outlets and will soon be featured in Black Enterprise and other national media. You may please feel free to follow her on Twitter at Nia B. Matthews and on Instagram at Nia Brown Matthews. Nia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it, my love, definitely.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate your story. You know, stories save lives. You know, sometimes people need a story more than they need food to keep moving forward on their journey. So definitely looking forward to you sharing your story. And as
thank
for
you.
Dr. You're welcome, definitely. For Dr. Eshe Fayaza. Fayaza, I'm going to make sure I'm pronouncing the name right, who is well known as the Herb Lady. She's a herbalist, an organic master gardener, an herbal nutritional counselor, a kinesiologist, and an author. Dr. Fayaza's model is that she considers herself to be a channel for people to heal themselves. Her work reminds her that when we are given good food and herbs, and as such, our bodies have the power to heal themselves. Our bodies want balance. I've been blessed to tactfully combine the wisdom of nature with research and observation. Now, the implementation of this philosophy that she lives by has been the foundation that has made Dr. Fayaza one of the most well-respected, results-oriented professionals in the holistic health industry. Known internationally as the Herb Lady, Fayaza's ever-present connection to her Mississippi herbalist aunt and uncle inspired her legacy as Herbal Blends, Aunt Henrietta's Lung Tonic, and Uncle Peter's Azafizetti Hofstad, and I'm sure she was going to correct me on how to pronounce that, home remedy. This remedy honors, or actually her work honors, those tall walkers who to this day guide her on her healing journey. Multi-talented and exceptionally gifted, Dr. Ashe has earned a reputation for excellence and is highly sought after to share her expertise. Dr. Ashe began her study of herbs at UC Berkeley. Her intense study continued in 1989 when she enrolled at the Dominion College. Herbalist mentors like Dr. John Christopher, a graduate of Dominion, have influenced her formal study of herbs, inspiring her to further tap into her family's herbal legacy. Dr. Ashe credited with a series of formulas called the Herb Lady Herbals, which include Big Woman's Herbal Transition, Kids Cleanse Dewormer, Herbal Tooth and Gum Powder, the Herb Lady's Herbal Skin Healing Salve, the Parasite Dewormer 30-Day Cleanse, Herbal Phenomenon, amongst others, all revitalizing blends that stimulate wellness. Fibroid-free is used as the primary treatment for uterine fibroids in several holistic OBGYN offices in both Atlanta and Maryland. Dr. Ashe wrote and compiled the Parasite Cleanse Diet produced by Herb Sister Publishing. Dr. Ashe currently empowers women with womb issues and womb loveology. Her brand of taking a proactive role in womb health combined with the empowerment of the Divine Feminine. One of the testimonies that's local to Atlanta that's available online at Dr. Ashe's website is related to the womb detox tonic for fibroids. One of her clients offered this to say, "I suffered with fibroids for 2 years. It got so bad I had to have a blood transfusion. The doctors kept advising hysterectomy. I was 25 years old at my diagnosis, so I knew that was not an option. I did research online and put my faith in Dr. Ashe and her womb tonic. I took it as recommended, and within 30 days, I could feel a difference. I continued for 2 years faithfully, cutting back a little the third year. I am now 30, still fibroid-free, and wish all women could at least try this product to discover the miracle within. Thanks, Ashe, for your support and our local community to let women know there are options." Dr. Ashe, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, that's incredible work. There's a lot of information I have about breast cancer awareness, and as I said, because of Dr. Ashe's time, we're going to start with her discussing womb wellness. And Dr. Ashe, I would like to thank you for the work that you've been doing. I've seen some of the outcomes of the treatments with the fibroids, some of the images, and I must say it's incredible that you have created some formulas to pass through the body, a mass. Some of those masses just huge, look like a small chicken. So I just couldn't believe it. Rather
yes.
than having to have a surgery to remove those.
It's pretty amazing, but it's definitely the women who do the work because, you know, fibroids are dependent on not only toxins, physical toxins from our environment, but they're also dependent on emotional toxins and stress. So, you know, you do have to take a holistic view at life in making sure that you are able to reduce all of the toxins. So it's definitely everyone is in charge of their own healing. That's one of the things I like to say. So that everyone recognizes that, you know, they can't use exactly what their friends have been doing as their own prescription for their life. You know, everybody's life is different, so everybody's healing and the way that they go about it will be different.
Yeah, that's true. Now, of course, we have heard the word fibroid a lot, and so we're not going to take it for granted that every listener knows what a fibroid is. And, of course, you said there's some emotional and environmental causes for fibroids. But please, Dr. Ashe, tell us, what is a fibroid and how does it grow and become so massive and heavy for a woman to carry around in her womb like that?
Well, the whole thing is that fibroids are non-cancerous tumors. I consider them to be a mass of toxins, you know. So many, since I am working with naturalism, holistic lifestyles, and most doctors who do surgery and things like that, which, you know, it's necessary for some women because they've let things go so long, you know, just in hoping and wishing, and hoping and wishing is that they might work in certain things, but in what we're talking about here, these, it doesn't work. So you have to do something. And like I said, the emotional toxins are everything from stress to being in bad relationships, personal relationships with husbands and boyfriends. Some women have even had sexual abuse early on, and so that will cause their bodies to, and I just read a report about this too the other day, that caused their bodies to not cycle as they should, you know, as far as having their menstrual cycle and everything else. So this is a very complicated but simple to do type of healing. You know, it's complicated because most people always want a reason, and everything doesn't have a specific reason. But the things that you can do something about are not rolling through the drive-through, not eating excessive soy, looking at your physical and emotional relationships, looking at your stress, looking at if you're being creative in your life. Are you doing something that is your passion and is what you're here to do, or are you just trying to make it through life? And also looking at the makeup, the cleaning products, the types of things that you're putting on your hair. All of these things are part of the toxins. And because women are mostly the ones who are in charge of taking care of the home and cleaning up, women are exposed to well over the thousands of chemicals per day, you know, because of the things that they use to clean, the things, the makeup, and, you know, the synthetic fibers that they wear on their bodies, you know. So wearing organic cotton, hemp, and other natural fibers are a good thing because your body, your skin, is your natural and largest organ. So it absorbs everything that comes to it. And women who have fibroids actually are able to absorb and to pull in even more toxins from the environment, which are called the xenoestrogens, which come from, you know, and those xeno, which come from all types of toxins. And those xenoestrogens, we all have estrogen receptors in our bodies. And what has happened with most of us, because we're so full of toxic estrogen, the body has taken those toxic estrogens and allowed those to be put on the estrogen receptors. But they're really natural estrogens that should be put there, and that's why people think that they should be using soy and those kinds of things. But most of the soy that people are using is genetically modified, and, you know, so many things. So, you know, instead of people trying to feel really confused with all of the exact details, the thing to do is to eat as clean as possible, and it's not expensive to eat organic these days because there are so many local farms in the cities and areas for people, and even Kroger's and other grocery stores, they have organic foods that they cost the same as anything else that you could buy. And really expressing your creativity and allowing yourselves to release people, places, and things that are not for your highest good, that are toxic for your life.
Wow. Yes, that seems to be a common theme in the holistic community, to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with positive people and positive energy, and knowing how
that's
to
decompress. That's the basics to successful life. You can't be around people who are negative and hope to be successful in life ever.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, living holistically, I like to say, for some people, is what they like to say, old-fashioned living or simple living.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you
mm-hmm.
know, living really is very, very simple. We have made it hard with all of the things that we create. And many of the things that we create, if you really think about it, are for somebody to get rich from. So when you start recognizing that you can grow food in pots on your deck or, you know, plant with the local community garden or at your church or, but what I found, because as an organic master gardener, I taught people for years how to do gardening. One of the things that is part of the problem is that women of color, African-American women, who are primarily my clients, we have a lot of barriers toward doing things that are considered plantation, slave, you know, things, because we have a history of having had to do it for free or little money, and so many people left that lifestyle and they said they would never do it again. And they passed that on within their families, that they would never be out in the yard, they would never garden, they would never do any of that. And those types of attitudes have hurt us, you know. And so,
wow, that's incredible.
You know, history. You know, when we really look at the history, I've spoken to many elders in the community, and they talk about, you know, how they just absolutely can't deal with the things that they grew up with. It's too much of a damaged place in their life and mind. Hmm. So it's a simple thing as far as growing food, but it's a big thing with the attitudes that we have about it. You know, and
well,
we have a lot
this.
Of attitudes, negative attitudes toward health in our community,
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah, that's very true. There is some growth that you can see. There are a lot of urban gardens now that's growing. And it's really unfortunate when you talk about genetic memory basically as a hindrance. You know, there are natural treatments for that. We did a show on that, genetic voice printing, where you can heal genetic memory that will allow you to free yourself up to be your natural, empowered, divine self, because certainly that's a traumatic experience, slavery, and not wanting to garden because of those traumatic memories and that genetic code being passed down to you when, as you said, you can very easily grow your own food. But to have your clients who are primarily African-American to still be carrying the memory of the trauma of working on the plantation as a hindrance to their own health and well-being, that is a serious challenge. That is a serious challenge.
Well,
however,
you know, that genetic memory also includes the not just the enslavement, but also the rape that occurred during the enslavement. So a lot of women have family genetic memory of rape from grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and so they'll say, well, you know, fibroids run in our family. And one of the things I like to say to them is that also the way you eat and your attitudes run in your family too, because you sit, you know, people sit together, women sit together and talk about, and they sit together and eat, and they talk about attitudes toward men and toward life, et cetera, you know. So, you know, a lot of things are passed from, you know, grandmother to granddaughter to, you know, it's there are quite a few things, and that's part of what I did with the womb loveology, is setting up a earth print, you can call it, or a womb print of how we can use the highest information to help heal our lives versus always using the lowest information to keep ourselves mad and going.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing work that you're doing as a kinesiologist as well, because as you have your clients, you're able to test those energies in their bodies to help to know exactly what to offer them as treatment to help them release that energy that's trapped in their bodies that's manipulating their behavior.
And you know, one of the things I really want, and you know, I want people not to need me. You know, I am very much into people moving on past us talking to each other on a regular basis, because everybody is in charge of their own healing. And once you really set up a really good imprint for people in which that's their basic life, which this is my basic life, they're able to give that image to their nieces and their children and their daughters and that type of thing. And that's where success is happening, when it becomes a basic part of life, you know. And mm-hmm. in some of our families, the mothers and the grandmothers have not been freed from thinking that every single thing that the doctor says is the gospel. So one of the things is thinking outside of the box, thinking in, you know, powering yourself up to trust your intuition and trust yourself in knowing what your body needs, because we all know what's going on with our system. 9 times out of 10, we just go to the doctor to get a word for it, but we already know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
why a lot of times we also avoid going to the doctor, because we don't want a word for it, you know.
Well, I want to ask you a question about this, your womb detox tonic. How do you formulate that? Is it, well, let me ask this question. Do you formulate it for each woman individually because of her needs related to her womb issues, or do you use a general formula that has worked? Because you've helped thousands of women past fibroids without having to have a surgery or have a hysterectomy.
Okay, and I want to follow up on the question that I just said to you also,
mm-hmm.
Is that I believe in complementary medicine. So having some of the tests that are available because you have gone to the doctor can help you get better natural results, you know. So I think mm-hmm. that those things go hand in hand. What
uh-huh.
I have done as far as formulated a general, and I formulated over 400 different herbal formulas, so I have different variations. If I do a consult with the woman, I have different variations of this womb detox tonic that can work differently for different women. It just depends on what's going on. And so that, you know, is part of the general herbals, but I also formulate in special cases for people who have allergies or who have, you know, if I'm shipping over to Europe or somewhere, I'll make something different so that I don't have to have it in water in a fluid. So it's versatile based on several different parameters. But
mm-hmm. now
yeah.
you said we should eat clean to as prevention related to fibroids. Are you willing to offer us some foods that we should be avoiding?
Well, my big thing is telling people to stay out of the drive-thru, to stop all the soy, and to, you know, not eat seedless foods. I mean, so these are general things so that. That can carry you quite a ways, those things right there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
yeah,
I
true. Well, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Face. I was going
no,
to say,
okay.
considering how more and more people are transitioning from eating meat by eating soy, there's a lot of food stuff that has soy in it now, processed foods. So considering that you said this, not to eat too much soy because of the estrogen.
Actually, women
mm-hmm.
don't. Most women don't need to eat any because they eat way
mm-hmm.
too much. We got soy chips, soy cheese, soy burgers,
mm-hmm.
soy
mm-hmm.
everything. Soy, you know, it's just too much soy. And you know what it is Americans, if we look at some traditional cultures, like we looked at Asian, someone looked at Asian cultures and recognized that the genistein that was in the soy was possibly helping Asian women not to have hot flashes and go through the same type of menopause and same type of transitions. Basically what happened with that report, and this is very American, is we take something that's going on in another culture without adding in the entire lifestyle of that culture and try to make everything about that one thing. So, you know, you're trying to take everything about, you know, a culture that is very segmented, that's very disciplined, that's very, you got all of these things, and trying to make it about soy. It's a whole bunch of other things that's going on with that culture that's just not about soy.
Yeah, that's true, right? Generally eat very well in Southeast Asia.
Well, they're eating more vegetables. They're eating a lot of soups and broths. You know, we're people who believe that when you get a snack, you go get something out of a bag and open it up and eat it. We're not thinking oranges or any types of seasonal for that particular season fruit, because that's also what I teach, is that the foods and vegetables that are in that season are for you at that season. So, you know, growing up, you don't eat watermelon in December, but people do. But watermelon is a cooling, watery food, but we're not supposed to eat it in December. It doesn't grow where you live in December. That's when you eat
now
oranges.
How does that create an imbalance in your body when you eat foods that are out of season? Because there are
cooling food. It's watery and cooling for July. That's perfect for July. You know, but in December, no. Vitamin C are in oranges and grapefruit, and those are plentiful at that time. So that's what you're supposed to be eating.
Now, I want to ask this question, and I just want to wrap it up with you because you said that you had to go on to another appointment. I want to honor and respect your time. When a woman has a hysterectomy, are there any herbal formulas that you recommend to her for balancing her hormones?
You know what? I think that this whole thing about balancing your hormones is kind of, basically what it is that in our society, we have really tilted our hormones because of the hormonal things that we eat. A lot of beef, a lot of chicken, and these are the things that I'm talking about when you're going through the drive-thru. These animals have been given a lot of hormones so that they could grow fast. And that makes an excess of hormones in our bodies, which end up, for most women, collecting in their breast and in their fat tissues. So what ends up happening is your body ends up using those hormones that are collecting in your breast and in your hips and in everywhere else that has excessive weight, and using those hormones to grow fibroids. When you are primed for a hysterectomy, you are actually taking out your battery to your body. That's the core of your body that keeps your energy up. It keeps your creativity going, because everything is not physical in the body. Some things are spiritual and electric, energetic. So, I mean, that's why I don't like to see women with cell phones in their bra, because that's destroying that tender tissue by carrying something that is not even part of our natural scope in a sensitive part of the body, you know? The same thing with having your womb removed. It's taking so much more out than a place that could carry children. It carries much more than that. And according to the CDC, at age 65, about 95% of African American women will have had a hysterectomy. For me, that's like an epidemic. And we don't normally look at things like this as a way of someone making a living. But that is exactly what it can be for a lot of women who have good insurance. Their doctors, they look at them, they say, how old are you? You're 35. Do you want any more children? Immediately, whatever issue you have, they're suggesting a hysterectomy. And I would be one to go to 3 or 4 different doctors before I would ever submit myself to something like that. And but women don't, because as I said, we are still being taught by our mothers and grandmothers who think that everything the doctor says is the gospel, and that's not true. And that's why we have such a high hysterectomy rate. And I meet women all the time who say to me, I wish I had met you a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because taking out the core of your body, taking out your battery, your creative chakra, is going to not only reduce your orgasms, but also your desire, your energy. It can weaken your entire system, and it can also throw you into depression. And so many women who are met with the suggestion of being given a hysterectomy are also given a prescription for antidepressants. So it's not a small thing. But because we have been taught that by women who have already had it, women who are encouraging younger women to just go ahead and get it done, you don't have to worry about having a cycle. Having a cycle is a normal exchange of energy from our bodies, you know, into the universe. And that's part of what I'm working with women as far as the whole womb love-ology, is that we have to love ourselves as a part of the creative force of the universe. We have been given a godlike power to bring new life to the planet, and there's nothing small about that. And so, you know, instead of us listening to history of the cycle and the menses being an annoyance, being a disruption, being a, you know, all kinds of problems. And, of course, we do know about cramps and things, but when you are living rather holistically, eating and getting a lot of minerals, vitamins, exercise, and those types of things, you can minimize some of those things. And at a point in your life, the cycle is just something that happens. It doesn't have to be something that takes you down. It is also a time of contemplation, a time of going inward, a time of paying attention to your ideas and your thoughts. And, you know, I offer classes on understanding our cycles and seasons, and the menses is the moon cycle, and it's part of the cycles that women go through throughout our lives that are connected to spring, summer, fall, and winter. It's not just about, you know, whether or not you're going to have a baby this month or not. And so, you know, we have to take back our power as far as being women, and look at not just the physical aspects of our bodies, but also look at the supernatural parts of us being one, the most powerful being on the planet. Women are the most powerful beings on the planet, because we make everybody successful. Our churches, our jobs, our mates, our children, and we let all that power go because we listen to ancient, and not even the positive, they're ancient positive and they're ancient negative, but we listen to negative ancient thoughts about women, because there, as we all know, has been problems with women being able to be so creative and be so powerful and be so intuitive and you know, all of these things. So sometimes what we've been taught, we have to challenge, we have to look at it, and we have to, you know, remember some of these problems that, you know, are continuing even to today with Congress and the Senate and everybody wanting to have more to say about women's bodies than women have to say about it. And
that's
so
very true.
that's about us taking our power back and understanding what we have and being, you know, loving our wombs and loving who we are as creators.
That's true. Well, Dr. Ashe, you, in a short amount of time, said some very, very life-transforming, inspiring things about how sacred our womb is and how powerful it is as our space of creativity as women, and how we carry all of our emotions in our womb, and how we need to heal our womb, treasure our womb and our time of month. It's not just a passing to make room for reproduction, but to also reproduction in terms of another human being, whatever it is that you want to manifest.
Right.
So certainly I would like you to take this moment to share with us, when is your next womb wellness conference? I know that you've had it over the last few years based on what I've looked up about your
work. Well, you know,
this
year I'm going to have a Womb Love Day on the 17th of October, and on the 10th, doing a womb, the understanding your cycles and seasons, I'm going to be doing that on an online phone conference type of class. So people who are interested in those types of things, they are very, I would love for you to give me a call at 404-244-5565. That's 404-244-5565. And I'm always having classes and things, and please do look at my site. It's herbsista.com, and that's herbsista.com, herbsista.com.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ashe, for your time and all the wonderful work that you're doing to help women heal without being cut. That's very important. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I definitely value the information that you share with our audience this evening.
Thank you so much, Marlo. I appreciate the invite. Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome. Be well. Wow, that's Dr. Ashe Faeza. Please go to her website at herbsista.com, www.herbsista.com, where you can get a wealth of information about what she offers as services related to herbs to heal your womb. She's all about women's wellness related to the womb, and there's a wealth of knowledge that she has to offer. Certainly appreciate her making the time to be with us this evening. So the other part of the show is the discussion related to breast cancer awareness with our two beautiful guests, Naya and Mary Peace. I would like to go over some breast cancer facts from the U.S. breast cancer statistics before we listen to the inspiring stories of these women and who are doing some wonderful things in the local and international community to uplift and inspire the lives of those definitely who are surviving breast cancer and those who are attempting to prevent breast cancer, and definitely the family members and friends who are supportive of their beloved ones who have survived breast cancer or made their transition. So according to the U.S. breast cancer statistics, and this information is based on May 11th of this year, 1 in 8 U.S. women, that's about 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. In 2015, an estimated 231,840 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in women in the U.S. About 2,350 new cases of invasive breast cancer expected to be diagnosed in men this year. A man's lifetime risk of breast cancer is about 1 in 1,000. For women in the U.S., breast cancer death rates are higher than those for any other cancer besides lung cancer. About 40,290 women in the U.S. are expected to die in 2015 from breast cancer. white women are slightly more likely to develop breast cancer than African-American women. However, in women under 45, breast cancer is more common in African-American women than white women. Overall, African-American women are more likely to die of breast cancer. The risk of developing and dying from breast cancer is lower in Asian, Hispanic, and Native American women. In 2015, there are more than 2.8 million women with a history of breast cancer in the U.S. This includes women currently being treated and women who have finished treatment. Now, these facts you can review at website www.breastcancer.org and definitely get more information. Now, what's interesting is how rare it is for young women to be diagnosed with breast cancer. There are fewer than 5% of all breast cancer cases diagnosed in the U.S. occur in women under 40. And one of our guests, Naya Brown Matthews, is a woman who was diagnosed at a very, very young age. Naya, would you please share with our audience how old you were when you were diagnosed and how you emotionally and spiritually found the strength to not only survive but to thrive in life? You're an entrepreneur, you're a speaker, you're a loving mother and wife, you're an author of an amazing book. Please tell us what your age was and how you were able to overcome in such a powerful way.
I was 27 years old when I was first diagnosed. And what was so surreal about that was at that time in my family, no one had it. Not one family member had, had breast cancer. Just nobody even talked about it. And so I had just moved to Atlanta, and my father, who died of lupus at the age of 50, which was still, that was something that was so surreal as well, because, you know, that's not common in Black African-American men. It's mostly in women. So I had just buried my father, and then to get to Georgia and to be diagnosed at 27, I'm going to be honest with you, I was in a state of shock. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those ones who believe in, you know, giving back and helping others, sowing seeds, paying tithes. I'm a Christian. And so I felt like at that time in my life, I was doing it even more than ever. And so I'm going to be honest, I was mad at God. I was livid. I'm like, I'm doing everything right. How can somebody so young, I just buried my dad, to be diagnosed with breast cancer? And it's something as simple as I was doing in the shower, doing an exam. You know, we're always told to just make sure you're okay and, you know, doing your own self-examinations. And I felt the lump. And I really didn't pay it any mind because overall I'm a healthy person. So to get the lump, and then I had it for like 2 weeks. I'm walking around, I'm regular. I talked to my mom. She says, Naya, you need to get it checked out. I'm like, no, it's nothing. Probably from wearing strong deodorant. You know how we get the cysts and the knots, yeah. You know. And so I really didn't pay it any mind. And so, you know, after the second week, I decided to go to, you know, my gynecologist, and she sent me over to just get checked out. And, you know, I'm at the hospital, and I'm in there, and it's nobody looked like me. I felt like I was on the set of the Golden Girls. I felt like I was on the set of the Golden Girls, and they're looking at me like, sweetie pie, are you in the right place? And I'm like, I think I am. So, you know, from being tested and biopsy and mammogram, and Lord knows I was in stage 2. So, you know, and I go back to being mad at God because, you know, I have that relationship where I'm like, I know you just didn't give this to me. I what? Are you serious? And that's how I talk to God, you know. And so he says, why not you? You know, you're not exempt. We can't bargain with the maker. So, I was in a dark place. I was depressed, you know, because, again, you know, I didn't feel sick. But when the hair, you know, when I started getting treatment, clearly, you know, your physical was affected. And, you know, my hair and the weight loss, the skin darkening, and I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like, oh, my gosh. My kid at the time was 4 years old. my 4-year-old daughter, and she looked at me, and she's like, Mommy, are you okay? Because I hide it, Will. You know, I'm still working. I'm being fabulous. And, but, you know, through that, I didn't allow cancer to take my zest for life. You know, so many times we get so caught up in being sick and not realizing you don't have to look that way. You don't have to feel how you feel. You don't have to look how you feel. Let me just say that. So despite that, you know, I was able to still be, you know, I'm in Section 8. I've been dealing with low-income families for 14 years. And so I use that, though, as a tool because I'm dealing with these low-income families, and they have no idea. I'm going to be honest. You know, they're not educated. Nobody's talking to them about it. So I use my clients as a way to it was therapeutic for me. I started talking to them, you know, just asking how they've been checked, and they're looking at me like, now you're so young. I'm like, you're not exempt just because you're young, you know. So I started going to a support group, and it helped. Talking to somebody, that you know, it helps. Writing in a journal, it helps. And I wasn't alone, and I found out later that, you know, I wasn't alone. So I dealt with that, and I'm going to be honest with you. This second time around being diagnosed at 37, I was ready. I was ready. I'm like, that's all you got, God? For real? We about to do this again? But I was prepared in my state. I didn't allow it to, you know, dictate the purpose in my life because I know it had to be greater. And I use that as a way to tell people, despite your obstacles, despite your circumstances, you can still live a healthy life. Whether you go holistic, whether you go, you know, chemical, it doesn't matter. You live your life. You serve your purpose. You put out there in the universe what you get back what you put in. So I just didn't allow that to stop me. And that journal that I was writing in turned into a manuscript that then turned into a book. And that's where The Boss in You was created.
Wow, that's powerful. I like and admire how you said that you were not going to allow it to conquer you. You made a conscious choice. You chose not to look as if you were sick. You chose to win. You chose to win. You got over the shock and surprise of it. I mean, you had some normal reactions. They were natural. I mean, who can imagine that at 27 years old being diagnosed with breast cancer? That's an incredible diagnosis. And then on the heel of your bearing your father. You know, you went through a lot. But look at what you've accomplished from that. You have no idea how empowering this is for somebody else. Somebody else is going to, and I'm sure you know this as a speaker, is gobbling up this story to help them keep moving forward in their lives. I love how you just straightened up and said, no, this is not going to conquer me. So I definitely appreciate that powerful story. And your daughter, you didn't just do it for yourself. She asked you if you were okay. And you said, well, yes, I'm going to take ownership of this. I'm going to reach out to these women that I work with and ask them, are they getting tested? Or are they testing themselves? What are you doing? You took your life circumstance and you empowered everyone around you. And then you wrote a book.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, I wasn't a writer. You know, again, it was just a journal, and that journal turned into the manuscript, and I took it to the pastor, and he looked at it, and he says, Naya, that's your purpose. You know, sometimes it's bigger than you. You look at what the situation you're in today, but you never know that testimony, that story can help somebody. And so during the duration of treatment, I said to myself that I was too fabulous for cancer. I, you know, they call them units now, but back then there were people that we call them wigs. But I had my units made. I would go into that cancer treatment center, honey, and I was fabulous. I'm wearing my heels. I put my makeup on. My face is beat. I am fabulous. And it kind of sort of stuck. They're like, Naya, I said, you know what? I am too fabulous for cancer. You are too fabulous for cancer. And so that movement alone, just it grew legs. I said it being funny, you know, and I just said it because people always look at me as being so jazzy. But I would go in the office and they'd look at me and I would go to treatment. I would go in the office and I would go home and be the wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister. I did it. You know, I was able to keep it moving. But you do one thing you have to learn how to do is find that balance, because even though I was sick, you know, and I was convinced of myself that I was not going to let it take me down and under, the physical side of it, I was still sick. And it took me to be in a boardroom with my staff, and I fainted. I was doing too much, you know. And so in the book, as I write, it's about finding that balance, you know. And I just had to learn that, you know, of course, through trial and error. But you still too. It's okay to, you know, be sick and be, but you got to take care of yourself too. And so
yeah, that's true.
I see sometimes we're superwomen in our minds, right? We're walking around with these invisible capes on, like we could do it all, but theoretically we cannot. Be clear.
Yeah, your soul is always ready to take flight, but the body's like, look.
Sit down. You need to sit down.
I don't
somewhere.
Have that type of energy right now.
But right, you know, and we're so stubborn, and I was going, and there was times where I had called staff meetings and got there and realized it was canceled. I had on my house shoes, you know. I was doing too much. But my husband, which Lord, I just think that he's such a blessing in my life, because he's such a philanthropist. He just loves to give back, and I'm the boss lady. I'm like, wait a minute, man. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. That's how my mind thinks. But it's amazing how God, you put people in your lives, and he's my yin, you know, the yang to my yang, and I look at him, and I was ashamed in the very beginning because I felt like it was a scarlet letter. Like, everybody knows Naya for having it going on. But when I got sick, I felt like I didn't have it going on. So I was ashamed. I didn't even want to tell anybody that I got sick. I didn't want people to feel sorry for me because I'm such a boss lady, you know. But, but when you take the hair off and the makeup, and you're looking at your naked stuff in the mirror, and he's like, oh, I am sick. I am sick. And he says, sweetie, it's okay. It is okay. It is okay. And so once I was able to, you know, realize that, you know what, this is just a, you know, the cards that I'm dealt with, I'm gonna play them, honey. I'm going to still be fabulous, honey. I'm going to live my life. And that's exactly what I tell people who are part of the Two Fabulous for Cancer movement, that there is life after cancer. And that's exactly what it is.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I want to ask Mary, you discovered the lump during a self-breast examination 18 years ago. Now, what was the source of your strength to survive breast cancer? And then you went on to start your organization, Bosom Buddy.
Well, it was my determination to live. At the time, my son was only 10 years old. My daughter was full grown, and her career as a flight attendant had already taken off. And he was only 10. He was very active in sports. And I knew I wanted to live because there would be his first dates, his first year of high school, his prom, his first year at college, and I had always imagined him going to Morehouse. So my thought was I wanted to see this kid graduate and make something of himself, and what would he become? And when I found that lump, I freaked out that Friday night. So that Saturday morning, I called my doctor. He was in a medical conference, and he called me back, and he was like, he always called me by my last name. He said, Peaks, don't freak out. He said, he asked me had I ever had, you know, was cancer in my family. I said, no history of cancer at all. He said, well, just be in my office on Monday morning and, you know, we'll take it from there. He said, don't stay in the house. Don't close up the blinds. get out of the house, do something just to take your mind off of it. And that's what I did. So found myself in his office that Monday morning. He sent me on to a breast cancer specialist downtown. Went to her. She did a biopsy on it. The biopsy came back. It was benign. But with her expertise, she was like, Mary, there's a foreign object in your body, and we need to see what it is. So had she not said that to me 18 years ago, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And my faith in God has taken me to heights and on a journey I never thought possible. Because after being diagnosed and after she did the surgery, we went in thinking that she was just going in to remove a lump. And it wasn't until she opened me up that she found it was cancer. And when my daughter gave me the news the very next morning, I was floored. Like I said, no history of breast cancer at all. And then just to be given that diagnosis, and my daughter, I should have known something was wrong, because when there's something wrong, her nose turns red. And her nose was very red that next morning after the operation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to know that I had that very strong support system from my family, from my church family, from my coworkers that work at Morehouse. It was awesome, and that was what really got me through it. And I knew there was a reason. I just didn't know what the reason was or why God had selected me to walk this journey, until my sister was diagnosed with colon cancer. And she lived 22 months after her diagnosis. I had to walk through that with her, because she was very scared. So I was there to help her walk that journey. So in 2003, April, as a matter of fact, my birthday month, we lost her. And her sons and her husband at that time, they didn't know it was my birthday coming up when we had to bury her on my birthday. So they rallied around me. They took care of me. I had nothing to worry about. If I had to go to a doctor's appointment, my daughter could go on her flights and not worry about me. And then I had a girlfriend in Chicago who is very dear to my heart. She cut her hair and donated her hair to me to have a wig made so that I could wear it. She would fly in from Chicago just to go with me to my doctor's appointments. So needless to say, she and I are connected. We are forever lifelong friends. And it's friends like that that can help you get through anything. They would deny themselves to take care of you and see what you need. It's awesome. And then when you figure out that God already had this journey set for me before I knew what the journey was, it's awesome. It's not a journey I would have chosen for myself, but I know that He had my back. And I know He had my hand, because where he leads me, he's going to be there.
Wow. That is breathtaking. It is. It is to listen to you share having a support for yourself and your family and friends that offer you some fierce compassion. That's fierce. That's some fierce compassion right there. Your self-determination to live and then to have that depth of compassion. The whole time you were talking, I was thinking to myself, how many people can say they have that type of unconditional, fierce kind of compassion, unconditional love, fierce kind of compassion to help them? You said it with such confidence and assurance you didn't have anything to worry about. Anything to worry about, you were taken care of. And that gave you so much comfort. You could hear it. You could hear the confidence and the stability in your voice from your story and sharing that. I mean, that's solid. That is solid. Breast cancer is serious. That's
Absolutely.
No joke. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. And any woman who survives that, it's very powerful. It's very, very, very powerful. Doesn't take anything away from the women who made their transition, the ones who were bearing witness to overcome by still living and to listen to the two of you share your story and how you're thriving, being a boss, too fabulous for cancer, refusing to give your life over and have such a powerful purpose of empowering everybody else. I've been to the breast cancer walk at Morehouse. I went there last year. I've been to Bosom Buddies meeting. You know, I met Mary because my sister made her transition from breast cancer, and I wanted to do something to commemorate her life. I wrote this poem about breast cancer survivorship years ago. And I just surfed a Google, you know, breast cancer survivor groups, and whatever resonated with me is who I reached out to, and it was Bosom Buddy. And I'm telling you, when you listen to that fire in Mary's voice about determination, it's true. You have to see her in action. I don't even think she's aware of it. You have to see how strong her love is and compassion is for those who are surviving. And to do the first breast cancer walk in the nation before Susan G. Komen, Morehouse is the place, and Mary Peeks is the woman who started that walk to commemorate the lives of those who are still surviving and those who made the transition. It's very well organized, and I recommend anybody to go to it. And I definitely want Mary to tell us about when the next walk is next month. Go ahead, Mary, and give us some details about the walk at Morehouse for next month for breast cancer.
Okay. I didn't start it. It was two other ladies. It was me and two other ladies. And we pulled our resources together, and one lady took it to the administration. The administration embraced it. They loved the idea, and out of that came the first Morehouse College Breast Cancer Awareness Walk, and that was 16 years ago. And it has grown over the years, and the American Cancer Society, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, has benefited. And then last year, we partnered with the Pink Frog Foundation, a very needed program and foundation for newly diagnosed women. They provide transportation, they provide meals, they provide maid service for newly diagnosed cases of women with breast cancer. The lady and husband team that started that, she is an 18-year cancer survivor. And she wanted to give back So we partnered with them last year, and out of that, well, we have a concert that will be on next Friday night, October the 2nd, at 8 o'clock in the Martin Luther King Jr. Chapel. And if you go online and if you register for the walk, you get a free concert ticket. And this year the concert will feature Richard Smallwood, the Shades of Pink Survivors Choir. He's got dancers coming. He's had some poets that's going to be there. It's going to be an awesome, awesome concert.
Is there a web address for that information,
yes,
Mary, or do you want to give your telephone number?
Yes, it's www.morehouse.edu. You can go online and you can register for the event, or you can call me directly at 404-215-2636. And we will also offer a luncheon to the campus community on next Friday. So we have a weekend plan that's going to be just great.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, Naya, tell us a little bit more about your group.
Well, Too Fabulous for Cancer, you know, and I commend her for the event. Like you said, it was before Susan B. Komen even existed. The thing about it is there were times when we were getting treated, and I'm going to be honest, a lot of these groups, I didn't get the assistance that I needed. And so, you know, it was such a long process and applications, and you got to make sure you talk to the right person. I was wanting to touch people who needed a co-payment, you know, a check, or somebody to help pay their parking at the hospital, or you know, to buy a unit. I wanted to really locally help people who needed immediate assistance. So the Too Fabulous for Cancer, what we do is clearly, you know, with funds that's raised. And I'm going to be honest, these first few years is out of me and my husband's own pocket, because I just feel like, you know, whether somebody buy a ticket or not, I still don't want to stop me from helping somebody. So we this year we had, it's normally in October, but because of previous engagements that my PR had me in with book signing, we had to move it to November the 14th. But TooFabulousForCancer.com is how you can find out about it. And you can write in, tell a story on why you feel like you or maybe somebody that you can recommend or that needs a makeover. Because during treatment, like you said, you don't feel pretty. You don't feel like, you know, yourself. And a makeover, you know, getting your hair done, a photo shoot, your nails done, a massage, even a check to help pay, you know, a co-payment. Anything that, even something of that minute, it can make a big difference. And so that's what we are all about. And it's just amazing how when you can just start an idea and people just want to say, I'll help, I'll help, I'll help. And it just warms my heart. So we want to keep it going. And like I said, it's going to be in November. You know, unfortunately, we can't do it in October. But either way, it's not, breast cancer is not just an October thing. It's an every month through the year thing. And we just want to keep
That's
it going.
True. That's true. Yeah, that's some great work. That's great work. That is great work.
And I heard her mention about, you know, it's amazing. When I was first diagnosed, nobody in my family had it. But after I was diagnosed, OMG, everybody, aunts and cousins and my sister, who's 31, who was diagnosed, she probably would have never thought to get checked had her older sister not had it. So, again, sometimes when I tell you, it's not even about you. It's bigger than you. The movement is bigger than you. The awareness is bigger than you. Because she said it. She said, Naya, I wouldn't have never thought to get tested had you not got it at such a young age. Mm. And then my first cousin died at 36. My aunt, who just passed away in New York at 50, you know, and she did everything right. You know, she eats right. She's holistic. She doesn't smoke. She doesn't drink. And she got breast cancer stage 2. She had both breasts removed. It came back this time in her lungs, and we buried her in February of this year. And out of my grandmother's 13 kids, I only have two left, two aunts left. Everybody else has passed away of cancer. So it's scary to know that even if the Lord sees fit for me to get it this last, you know, one more time, I want to make sure my legacy is that I made a difference and bring an awareness, and I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? So, and I just think women like you who has the platform to bring awareness is such a blessing, I believe, to have people like you in this world to, you know, to help inspire, encourage, and motivate.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, Naya. I definitely appreciate your time, you know, to make the time to share your story. As I said, a story can save a person's life. Sometimes people need a story more than they need food to keep traveling along their life's journey. And it's empowering to listen to what you and Mary have to say about the work that you're doing. What about your book, The Boss in You? I know you said you started through journaling. What kind of impact is it having on young girls' lives in particular? I know you said you wrote it for young girls and their mothers, but I'm very interested in to know how young girls are impacted by your book. And what are their ages? What do they have to say about your book?
You know, it's amazing how it grew legs overnight, because it was just for boss women, and, you know, between the ages of 25 and you know, starting at 25 and above. But the young women, young ladies, because I have a 16-year-old daughter now, who's now we're talking about college and peer pressure and trying to fit in. You mentioned in my bio that she has pituitary dwarfism, where she's 16 years old, but she has the body of a 10-year-old. She's 42 pounds. And she's the smallest in the high school, but, you know, because she looks different, you know, kids still tease, you know, I didn't think that, and it's serious now to the point where these kids are committing suicide, and, you know, and so I wanted to have just a journal, and you can write in the book. It's not just, you know, just to read it. You can actually, there's places in the book where you can put your goals and your thoughts, and just use it, and it turns into your own book, more or less. And I wanted women to write down their thoughts and their goals and objectives, and I just, in that book, it's about talking about being the boss in you. We all have that boss in us. Sometimes it's overshadowed by, you know, obstacles and relationships, and, you know, it's just, you know, we're all faced with something, but I just, the book, chapter by chapter, it has, you know, personal stories that I went through, you know, or my friends went through, that I was able to put that in the book on each chapter. And so somebody can relate to what does it feel like to be bullied? What does it feel like to feel low? What does it feel like to tell somebody no? Choosing your friends and your circle wisely. These are the names of the chapter in my book. And we can somehow relate some way, fashion, or form. Because we struggle with saying no to somebody because we want to put us, you sometimes have to put yourself first. It's not about them. It's about you, because if you don't take care of you, you won't be good to nobody else. And I don't think that has an age. We all faced with that in our teen years all the way up, you know, to 50, 60 years old. Choosing your circle wisely. Having people to build you up instead of break you down. Dealing with even church people, you know, how you deal with the church people and how they ridicule you because you don't go to church, you know, 5 days a week like they do. But, you know, in some way, fashion, or form, you know, I think somebody could take something out of my book and use that to be a better person, to bring the boss out of them, and that's what this book's about.
Awesome. Well, you're representing it well, because I can feel the confidence. I can feel your shine. It's very empowering. I definitely have been empowered by your story, and I certainly do appreciate your courage, you know, your courage and your transparency to share your story to help others, help so many others. As I said, you have impacted everybody around you. So it's a wonderful way to live. It's a fiery way to live. Certainly appreciate your life. Now, I want to share some new technology about early screening. You know, I've listened to the stories with the audience about, particularly with you, Naya, how some of your family members were motivated to get tested because of your experience, and grateful that they had gone on ahead and got tested and found that they were stage two. There's this company called Circadia Health. Back in January of this year, they created this bra. It's called IT Bra. This bra helps to detect or screen breast cancer early. It's being used clinical trials in the Bay Area, on the West Coast. So rather than have a mammogram or ultrasound, this system can be used at home, and definitely potentially life-saving information can be transmitted straight to your smartphone. It's a wearable device. It's patches. So what the patches do, the patches are worn on the inside of your bra. So they're able to detect the heat patterns in your breast over time. So what happens is your circadian rhythms, which are considered a physical, mental, and behavioral changes that have a follow a roughly a 24-hour cycle within your body, the technology uses algorithms to transmit the data from the padding in your bra to a computer for your physician to receive the information about the different rhythms that are taking place, circadian rhythms that are occurring in your breast. That's awesome. Wow. That's an awesome way of using technology. That's online. Small I, capital T, law. Incredible. So I wonder how well those clinical trials are going on related to early detection without having to use an ultrasound or
That's
mammogram.
Amazing. That's amazing. That is such an amazing.
That is. That is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. That is absolutely incredible. Well, I want to thank you, ladies, for being on the show. I could talk to you for hours about what it is that's going on in your lives with such amazing stories and work that you're doing. But before we go, I want Mary to tell us about Bosom Buddy, because she has yet to share with us her organization. When you meet, I know you meet in the hospital at Southern Regional Hospital, but which day of the month do you meet, and how many women are part of your organization, your support group?
We all together, we have about 10 ladies that meet once a month, and we were meeting like the first Saturday of each month. But then some things started happening, so we moved it to the second Saturday. And we don't always meet at the hospital. Sometimes we'll meet up, you know, maybe for breakfast, maybe for lunch in the community. And we just sit around, we just talk, and we catch up with each other, you know, just see what's going on with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it gives some of the ladies a chance. It's an outlet. You know, just to get away from home and, you know, just to have a different surrounding.
Okay. Well, that's great information for people to contact you related to that. You want to give your number for people to reach you in case there are some survivors out who would like to come to one of the meetings?
They can call me at 404-386-9780.
Okay, well, I want to thank you and Naya for being on the show. It's been a wonderful show, and definitely Dr. Ashay for sharing her wealth of knowledge related to womb wellness. I suppose that there will be some women who are going to look up your information online, Naya, to get your book, and if not for themselves, to get it for maybe their niece or their own daughter to read the journaling experience of how they can tap into the boss in themselves and live in power labs. Our teenage daughters definitely need to know how to be encouraged in these times, in these bullying times, cyberbullying, to bring out the boss in themselves, to have the confidence to be true to themselves, to enjoy who they are as a boss. So I'm thankful for your book. I'm thankful for your Too Fabulous for Cancer group. And I definitely appreciate Mary's work at Morehouse and the Bosom Buddy support group that gets together to support each other and keep each other encouraged on their life's journey. I would love for you women to continue to have a wonderful weekend with your beloved ones. Remember to be healthy, wealthy, and well. And thank you for your time. And please spread the word about Let's Get Healthy with Marlo. We're all works in progress. Ladies,
we
have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Marlo, for your time. Thank you for having us and making us a part of this show. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. Be well.
You too. Take care.
Thank you.
da, da, da.